of a fundamental issue that applies to how we understand our learning and what we're doing when we're learning, particularly Gemara, and it's going to fit into a broader historical context of that period of time. Shar Dalid Perek Aleph. I think it's important, says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, to write some things down about the heady issues of the day. What's the heady issue of the day? Seems to be a very straightforward issue that there can't be much discussion about, but there is. Begodel hachiyuv shel esek haTorah. About the importance and the chiyuv of learning Torah. I'll call ish Yisrael yom v'layla. On every Jew, both day and night. Ulaharchiv ma'ata dibur, and to expand and talk more, b'losho midaberes, in a way that is common for people to understand today, gedulas yikar tefarta umalosa shel haTorah, about the glory and the beauty of Torah. Va'odam hayosher ha'isik v'ha'igeh bebesar es chesed al ha'shaynay, and how a person's transformed, even in terms of the type of chesed he does through Talmud Torah, lasos nachas ruach liyotzer uvarei sparach shemoy, v'ish das hamamitz koyach letomcho lesado lehatzik bidokeha, and we need people today who are going to strengthen and support the nuances of Torah. Acharei asher zeh yomim rabim liyisrael, because their time has passed, shehushpal esek haTorah kedosh b'chol dor v'dor, that Torah has the significance of Torah has become diminished. V'hein ata b'doros halalu b'avonosein rabim nafla ma'od ma'od nisuna b'seisra madrega tachton rachman l'slam. He claims that something dramatic has happened to Torah, which is negative, and has been brought down. Hushpal means to be lowered down to a madrega tachtona, to the lowest points. Kasheri neinu roe ata berabas bnei amenu, because we see, and he's going to explain more, that many people have lost the sense of the importance of Talmud Torah, and here he's dan lekav schus. He judges people favorably, that the reason they're doing that is migodel sevel masa ola parnasa, because they have tremendous responsibilities in terms of earning a living, Hashem Yirachem, and what has happened is that the importance of Talmud Torah has become diminished. Vigam, and here we begin the fundamental discussion. And every generation has a challenge, every person has a challenge to find the right balance of learning Torah and earning a living. But here we're going to get into the fundamental issue. Gam, kama me'osin asher kirvas elokim yechbetzun. There are many who desire to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hema bacharu la'atzmam, and this is where Reb Chaim Volozhiner believes the challenge really develops. That there are many who have chosen l'kvoa kol ikar limudam, that they decided to spend the majority of their limud b'sifrei yiro u'musar kol hayamim. They're focusing their efforts on sifrei Yiras Hashem and Musar, b'loik v'yus ikur esek b'torah kedosha, and they're not putting their primary efforts into learning what he calls Torah kedosha. What is that? B'mikros psukim v'halachos merubos, and many halachos. V'adayin lo ro ma'oros mimeihem. These individuals are missing the essential light of Torah. V'lo noga aleihem or haTorah, and the shine of Torah, the brightness of Torah hasn't shined on them. Hashem yislach lehem. Ki kavonosam l'shamayim, their intentions are l'shamayim, they're sincere. Avolo zu aderech yishkon bom ar haTorah. But this is not the way the light of Torah is going to shine on them. Now what Reb Chaim Volozhiner is doing is setting up the playing field over here, which is, the historical context is important. But just as well as understanding the background behind is important, it's just as relevant today. The question that I alluded to last week, I want to throw out to you again and challenge you again. Yesterday, you had a late night Seder, right? Okay, so it means you guys learned a lot on Thursday. Many of you are understandably tired, and I'm impressed that you're here learning with me now. How much time did you spend thinking about your own personal growth all of those hours of Thursday? Some of you learned, let's say, you know, some guys take time out, walk out every once in a while. Some guys might have learned 6 hours yesterday, all yesterday, and some guys might have learned 15 hours. But in between, whether you learned 6 hours or 15 hours yesterday, how much of that time did you think about God and your own personal growth? My guess is that it wasn't more than 45 minutes, maybe an hour, maybe max an hour and a half, which is really strange at first glance, but is absolutely correct nevertheless. And that was the argument that many had to Rav Chaim Volozhiner. And the Vilna Gaon was concerned that the advent of Hasidus would lead to a point where the emphasis would be the focus entirely on one's personal growth with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on an amazing thing called Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, and Talmud Torah would be neglected. And Rav Chaim Volozhiner is coming to answer a very, very strong question. And that is, at first glance, things are out of proportion. Most of those 15 hours yesterday should have been spent on your own personal growth. And yet, they didn't do it in Yeshiva Volozhin, and you don't do it in Shalavim, and you don't do it in Mir Yeshiva, you don't do it in YU. And the question is a very, very profound question. Why? That's a very, very important question that needs to be asked. Now, what happened was that the spiritual order was being challenged, Rav Chaim Volozhiner felt, by the advent of Hasidus. Ultimately, you're going to see, I feel very, very close to Hasidus. This is not Chas v'Chalila, a repudiation of Hasidus at all. We're going to find a place where Hasidus is going to have a very central place in Avodas Hashem. But first, in the context of the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, the concern was that the Baal Shem Tov, what did the Baal Shem Tov Zechus HaYogan Aleinu emphasize? Correctly so. What the Baal Shem Tov Zechus HaYogan Aleinu emphasizes is that every Jew is holy. He emphasized that every Jew has the potential to have a relationship with God. He emphasized that growth for an individual is not only how much knowledge they have, but it's also how much they share in another Jew's plight and another Jew's pain. And all of those things become very, very important tenets in Hasidus, and the Baal Shem Tov reintroduced Kabbalah no longer as a discipline for the elite, those who had already mastered all of Torah, but also those who were novices in Torah, who really didn't have a lot of background in Torah. And I don't think, this is my personal opinion, that the Vilna Gaon and Rav Chaim Volozhiner opposed that. But there still was a very, very strong concern at the time. And that strong concern even exists today. And in my opinion, still even exists in the yeshiva that I have the schus to work for, and that is Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan, which I think generally has managed that balance very, very well, just like the yeshiva where I originally started out in, Yeshivas Tar V'Dasa, also managed that balance. If you want, I could explain what I mean historically short in another time, a little bit later. I want to make sure we develop this. So what happens is they say, wait a second, all those values are important. But if you're going to have people that are focusing the majority of their efforts on these most noble ideas, then sometimes it's really, really hard to inspire them to break their head on what Rav Chaim Volozhiner refers to as Torah. Torah Kedosha. What was his definition of Torah Kedosha? Let's look back inside. Below Kfiyas, second paragraph, Agam Kama Me'osan Asher Kivas Al Kim Yechpatsun. Below Kfiyas Iker Eisek HaTorah Kedosha Bamikro, starting from the Psukim, V'Halachos Merubos, all the way through the Halachos. In other words, the Mesorah that we have for Volozhin that Rav Shechter Shlita embodies so beautifully, as you could see from the Pasuk, Rav Shechter sees all the way to Halacha L'maisa. It's one file. All the way through from the pasuk through all the Ma'amari Chazal, through the Rishonim, through the Poskim, all the way to Halacha Maisa. That's Reb Chaim Volozhiner's formulation over here. Mikros v'halachos merubos. Starting from the Psukim, all the way through Halacha Maisa. Says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, all of that's going to be lost if people don't realize that as important everything that the Baal Shem Tov is emphasizing, and his Talmidim are emphasizing, that that is not, pardon the crude term, that is not the meat and potatoes. I'm not saying that Chassidus is the dessert. I think Chassidus is also extremely, extremely important. But Reb Chaim Volozhiner is saying the critical part for a man's growth is Amelus b'Torah HaKdosha b'mikraos v'halachos merubos. And that really is strange. It's hard to understand why that would be so. Because at the end of the day, isn't it our personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's critical? Isn't it our personal relationship with others that's critical? Aren't Sifrei Yira and Musar absolutely central in terms of cultivating that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And that's what Shardal Nefesh HaChaim is going to discuss. It's going to really get at the core of why is it that the proportion seems to be totally out of whack in the yeshivas that still connect themselves and trace themselves all to Yeshiva of Volozhin. Now, maybe it's a good time right now, before we continue on, to just take three or four ideas of what you think the answer to that question is. What is the answer to that very, very strong question? Why does Reb Chaim Volozhiner feel the need to write a polemic? How many of you know what the word polemic means? Polemic means, to justify now coming back another year in Israel, we'll teach you also English as well. So a polemic means a writing which is there to present a certain position that usually is out to reject what is perceived as a false conception, a false understanding of Avodas Hashem. In this case, Avodas Hashem. A polemic is it's something when you're writing against something else to rectify something. So Reb Chaim Volozhiner, this is his polemic over here. What do you think is the answer to that question? What, the question? Yeah, the question that at the end of the day, our learning seems to be out of proportion. Sifrei Yira and Musar is not what we're focusing on. I suggested that I would guess that most guys, whether they learned 6 hours or 15 hours, they didn't spend more than an hour thinking about personal growth. And the rest of the time, they were, whether they were working on Parshas HaShavua, or they were working on Gemara, at the end of the day, they weren't focusing a lot of time on, they were trying to understand Bor Tes and Bor Yud, which at the end of the day, why is that central in a person's growth? A Dayan needs to know that. Yeah, what's your name?
Eitan Pfeiffer.
Eitan, yeah.
I'm sure Chaya would agree that learning about Yiras Hashem and stuff like that, and Musar is very important. But if you learn that all the time, then that's like feel good Torah. Like it's like fun to learn.
And what's wrong with feel good Torah? Now, I'll answer the first part about. But I don't think it's not enough. I think that when we use the negative connotation of feel good Torah, I think what we're bringing out is that the Torah is not there. If you're medayik in the lashon, let's be medayik in that social term. Feel good Torah. When I use that term, is a criticism, because the Torah is not about working on your own development. It's actually, and working on the things that you need to change, it's making you feel good, as opposed to encouraging you to improve. That's what I understand is the meaning behind feel-good Torah. But what if, Reb Chaim Volozhiner is saying, if we're not talking about feel-good Torah. We're talking about Torah that can work and change you. By the way, sometimes the good feel-good Torah could actually, through the process of making you feel good, really change and improve you. So let's not talk about those things that are just simply feel good. What about those things that are really going to improve you? Go ahead, Eitan.
That when you learn things about yourself, it's less, in my opinion, it's less like it's less like you're breaking your teeth and trying to figure out Pshat and Gemara. You're really working hard at it. It's really coming yours. You're really calling them separate. Like more just like work on yourself.
And why is that?
It's a
beautiful thing. But why is that? Why is that important? Great. In other words, you're saying there's some value in breaking your teeth. There's some value in breaking your teeth. You know, there's... the odds probably are that in 15 years from now, there aren't going to be any Gemaras without Nekudot. How many of you are Mavir Sedra with Rashi without punctuation? How many of you use the punctuation? Slowly, when I was a kid, there was the punctuation, but hardly anybody used it. The Gemaras, now, I'm not advocating for you to use the Gemara Nukat. Discuss with your Rebbe. I think sometimes there is a value. But at the end of the day, there are things called breaking your teeth, which you're supposed to be breaking your teeth on. And then there are other things that maybe you shouldn't be breaking your teeth on. I think the world is going to decide in 15, 20 years from now that breaking one's teeth on the Nekudot is just not worth it. I don't know if I agree with it, but I think that's what's going to happen. So there are things that eventually society and its rabbanim decide, no, that's not called Amelus Vatorah. Even though when I was a kid, that was a big part of Amelus Vatorah, was figuring out the punctuation, putting the punctuation in the Gemara. And some of you might also feel that way, who have the schus to do it, might feel that way. So we need to ask ourselves, what is that value of breaking our teeth? We need to understand what that is. And if the value simply is simply amelus, what is the importance of amelus, and why is the amelus in this type of material so important? You could have been breaking your teeth also on Sifrei Yira and Musar as well, if they were written on at a very advanced, high level also. It needs to be understood a little more. Take a couple suggestions. What I suspect is all of your things are going to be great, but we're going to need to develop all the ideas. Yeah. Your name again?
Noah Fleeter.
Noah, yeah.
So I personally think that when you're learning the Torah itself from the Pesukim to Halacha, you're learning closer to the actual Devar Hashem and Hashem's Torah that He gave to us. I think you're learning it more direct and closer to what people have learned for thousands of years, and that connects you with something. I also think that you're being intellectually stimulated while at the same time being able to, I guess, also have the emotional aspect of learning Hashem's Torah. And when you have both of those put together, and you realize that it's an obstacle that was put in front of you by Hashem, it's a challenge, it's hard to do, but by overcoming that every single step of the way, you're coming a little bit closer to Hashem each way. Each time you get a little bit better at the Gemara, and each time you finish one more daf of the Gemara, that's how I feel.
So Noah mentioned a few things. Number one is that you're learning Dvar Hashem. Number two is that you're learning things that are have been learned for an extended period of time from Har Sinai, and we're connecting ourselves to that, which is really important. And then finally, you have this unique combination of intellectual stimulation, which in of itself creates a certain emotion. Great, all those things are important. I'm wondering why it is that so many components, the Sifrei Yira and Musar, can't or don't, according to Rav Chaim Volozhiner, we're going to see create that. Yeah? Again, remind me your first name?
Yair.
Yeah.
I was going to say that if you just learn like Sifrei Musar, then like you'll get all those inspirational ideas and everything, but it won't have a place to go. But when you learn Tos HaKadoshim, then those ideas get ingrained in you, then it builds you. But if you don't learn, you don't start learning Gemara and stuff, then where are the ideas you're getting in Musar going?
So in a way, the Sifrei Yira and Musar are just going to pass through you, and somehow the Torah Kedosha allows those ideas to stick. Okay, let's see what Rav Chaim Volozhiner says. It's going to take a few weeks to develop and see what he says. All of the ideas that you said are MS, but we need to concretize them. We really need to refine them and to understand them. Va MS. Bottom of page Reish Nun Zayin in my edition. Va MS. Ki Sifrei Yira. Hinam kechol darkei Hashem Yisharim. Sifrei Yira are part of the darkei Hashem Yisharim, says Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Ki doros harishonim hayikfuim kol yimeim be'esek vehegion torasenu hakadosha. Reb Chaim Volozhiner claims that throughout the generations, Chachamim and their Talmidim, Klal Yisrael, spent their entire intellectual efforts working on what we refer to as Torah Kedoshah, which is Mikraos V'Alachos Merubos. Tikuim Ba'ale HaMidrashos, they were set in Batei Midrashim, B'Gefes, this is an important term, some of you might have heard this, Gefes is Rashi Tevos for Gemara, Pirush Rashi, and Tosos. Their main avoda is what we do today, whether it's in Iyun or in Bikias. At the end of the day, in your Iyun, the goal should be to really, really understand the Gemara and the implication for other things. But the goal should be really, really know the daf. V'shalheves hava torasenu akdosha yabayir b'libam keish bo'eres. And the fire of the love of Torah burned in their heart. Ba'avas v'yiras Hashem Torah. And they had ava and yiras Hashem. V'chol cheftzam, and their entire desire was lahagdil kvodu ladira, to increase the honor of Torah and to beautify it. V'yirchivu gvulam b'talmide rav magunim l'man t'malei arts deya. And they expanded their boundaries so that their world would be full of das of Torah. V'chasher orchu ayomim, but as time went on, hine kain darko shel ha-yetzer. The derech of the Yetzer Hara is, even when something is good, to somehow turn that component, which is essentially good, and find a way to transform it into something that is less than good. L'iskane be'am Hashem Eila. The Yetzer Hara was jealous, ki'ilu, of the Am Hashem and their growth. Kasher hema dorchem b'derech Hashem karoi, that they were going in the right path. L'hatul b'hem eres. And the Yetzer Hara had to find a way to put poison into this approach, which was, according to Reb Chaim Volozhiner, perfect. Ad shekamu mea talmidim. What happened was that there were quite a few talmidim, some who kolk view, some v'iskam, rak b'pil pura shel Torah levad. They began to focus obsessively only on mikros v'alachos merubos, only on the Gemara. That became their entire focus. V'lo zulas kla, and they didn't work on anything at all, else at all. V'shaninu b'mishnah seinu, and the Mishnah says, im ein yira ein chachma, that if a person doesn't have Yira Shemayim, doesn't develop their Yira Shemayim, then they won't have Chachma Satorah. V'od harbe mamari chazal mizeh, and there are many mamari chazal that bring this out. L'zos, therefore, hisoru atzman kama migidoleim eine ha'eda, that what happened was that there were Gedolei Torah who said, wait a second, the balance has been lost. The balance of putting all of one's work in Torah, yet at the same time, somehow fostering Yira Shemayim, had been distorted. And what had happened was, Gemara had been elevated to a place where there was no consciousness of Yiras Hashem. And therefore, Rabbanim had to step up. Asher darkon bakodesh lishkod al talkanes kal achinu beis Yisrael. Liyasher ahadurim v'ligdor pirtzasim. They needed to correct the errors. Laharim amichshol mederech Hashem. Umilu es yadam lavo b'techachas. And then the Rishonim began to write Sifrei Yira u'Mosar. B'musarim u'midos. What happened was the Rishonim began to write Sfarim that were Sifrei Yira u'Mosar. So if you think, during the medieval period, you'll think back, that was the time that Sifrei Yira and Musar begin to appear. The classic example would be Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah was one of the great Rishonim. We have his commentary on Brachos. We have him in a few places in Shas from Rabbeinu Yonah. There's actually much more of Rabbeinu Yonah that was destroyed. But what we have of Rabbeinu Yonah is clearly clear. He was one of the Gedolei Rishonim. He wrote a Sefer of Musar called Sharei Tshuva. And then we have the Sefer of Chovas HaLevavos. Many of the Sfarim of Sifrei Yira Musar were written during the time of the Rishonim. Says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, the reason for that is what happened was these Rishonim saw that everybody had become focused on their growth in Gemara Rashi Tosos, and they had forgotten the pasuk Va'atam Hashem Lokecha Shol Neimach Ki Yemi Es Yira Hashem Lokecha. They had forgotten this component of Yira Shemayim. Amna, Kol ish tvunos. Next paragraph in the one in front of me, it's page Reishon Ches on the bottom. Amnam kol ish tvunos asher sichlo yashar holech. Anybody that's a person of understanding, whose seichel is straight, yavin meidaito, they'll understand alone. Ki lo kivnu b'hem lazniach chas v'chalila esek b'gufei haTorah, that their intention was not to let go of the involvement with gufei haTorah, with mikraos and halachos merubos, v'lios ach also kol yomim b'sifrei musarim, and that they should spend their majority of their time in sifrei yus musar. But rather their desire was they wanted that model of being osek ben mikros v'alochos merubos to stay. But the Sifrei Yira and Musar were there to inspire that our actions be full of avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. Usually, when there's a movement, eventually what happens is the pendulum swings to a particular direction. You guys know what a pendulum is? You have something swinging back and forth. So you have something that's hanging from the ceiling. It's in this perfect balance. But what happened was, there were some people who took Torah, and they took it in one direction, and in that direction, all they were doing was focusing on achieving in Gemara. Therefore, the Rishonim had to push. They wanted to push it back to the middle, where there was a balance, where there was Yiras Hashem and Avas Hashem as well. And the Rishonim pushed, and they were hoping that people would take it back to the middle, but as it hit the middle, people took it in the other direction. Continues Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Vehein atah. But what's happened is, Bavonosenu Rabim due to our many averus nafochu. The opposite has happened. Hagavoa hushpal shekama vekama samu koliker kvias limudam rov hayomim rak besifrei yira moser. What has happened is that people have spent the majority of their time only on sifrei yira moser. But amram kizekol adam baolamo lasik bem tamid. That this is what's important? One's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch, one's relationship with others. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner decries, the Vilna Gaon is sitting in this corner, no one's appreciating what's going on, and it's not being spread out to the masses. That importance of what was referred to as breaking one's teeth. That importance of being connected to Torah Kedoshah. I leave off with a question, though. And with this, we'll go to the parasha. At the end of the day, Reb Chaim Volozhiner hasn't answered that there is a pasuk in Sefer Dvarim that says, "Va'ata ma Hashem elokecha doresh mimach." What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu ask from you? Kiyim liyiras Hashem. That's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks from you is Yiras Shamayim. Everything else seems to be a handmade, seems to be something that's supposed to bring you to Yiras Shamayim. So if a person says, "Bava Kama is not bringing me Yiras Shamayim," so then why is it that he only spent on a long Thursday with a Mishmar an hour of his time spent on working on personal growth? So Reb Chaim Volozhiner is definitely now, what we've learned this week, is he's definitely presented to us what he thinks the issue is and where the tension is. He presents that he's convinced that the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu desired our learning to be was to be b'merachos, halachos, merubos, and b'mikraos. That was clear. Sifrei Yira and Musar, Reb Chaim Volozhiner didn't even put into the category of Torah Kedoshah. And he said that the balance is a sensitive one. The Rishonim wrote Sifrei Yira and Musar because people had become obsessed only with learning Gemara and didn't focus at all on their personal growth. In other words, they weren't even spending that hour on a Thursday working on their personal growth. And then what happens is, the Rishonim write Sifrei Yira Musar, they push the pendulum back to what they hope is towards the middle, and then what happens is that people say, wait a second, these Sifrei Yira Musar are so important that they work on that, and they forget about the Esek, the Mikros, Vahalochos Merubos, and Reb Chaim Volozhiner is going to need to do two things for us. He's going to need to explain to us what is the appropriate balance. A, And B is, why is that the appropriate balance? Is the appropriate balance to be learning morning Seder and afternoon Seder Bava Kama? Or maybe more of it should be spent on one's own personal growth. That's what Reb Chaim Volozhiner is going to try to address. He's also going to address a very, very fundamental question, and that is the definition of the words Torah Lishma. What does it mean to learn Torah L'Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu? When was the last time you thought about HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you were learning Bava Kama? And there were some who criticized the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, and they said, you're not learning Torah L'Shma. You're not thinking about God. Just like you're not spending enough time working on your personal growth, you're not spending a lot of time working on simply learning Torah L'Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're focusing too much on the details of trying to understand the Bor Tes and Bor Yud, but you're not focusing on what it means to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Torah. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner is going to address that, Mirtz Hashem, as well. So Mirtz Hashem, next week, we're going to continue with that. Does anybody have a Chumash? With Rashi with Nekudas. There, it's got Rashi with Nekudas. Shekhov, thank you very much. I want to share with you a short and very fundamental idea in Chassidus that I think is extremely, extremely important in our Avodas Hashem. It's one pasuk in this week's parasha, the first pasuk. I usually can't get, in Parshas Lech Lecha, I can't get past the first pasuk. Vayomer Hashem el Avram, Lech Lecha me'artzecha mimoladetcha mibeis avicha el oretz asher arecha. Nesiva Shalom asks a few questions about this first pasuk. In Parshas Noach, when Noach leaves somewhere, it says Tsei. Noach goes out. Here, by Avram Avinu, we're introduced to a new word, Vayelech. Avram is going. Question number one is, why is it that we have Avram Avinu as being emphasized of being a lech? What is the significance of that? Question number two is that the pasuk, when describing Avram Avinu leaving, the pasuk is actually backwards. All of you got onto a plane and came to Israel. Some of you left New York City and everything that New York City is, hopefully leaving most of it behind. You left your house. Then you went to Kennedy Airport or Newark Airport. Then you flew, and eventually you left the airspace of the United States and you entered the airspace of the state of Israel. So the pasuk, in describing when someone leaves, should be the inverse, asks the Nesiva Shalom. It says it shouldn't say, me'artzecho mimoladcho mibeis avicha, but rather, it should be mibeis avicha, moladcho, and then me'artzecho. The order is reversed. One last question. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us, and Reb Chaim Volozhiner is actually, we're going to spend a lot of time, hopefully, getting to this, discussing this important Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Gemara in Avodah Zarah says the entire world was bedlam, was tohu vavohu, until the Torah was given. There are many important Mamorei Chazal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that if Klal Yisrael would not receive the Torah, the whole world would disappear. So the world was in a state of tohu vavohu. By the way, Reb Chaim Volozhiner goes so far as to say that if there is a moment that Torah is not being learned in the world, he is positive that the world will just disappear. There is a moment of time that there isn't one person in the world not learning Torah. That's how seriously Reb Chaim Volozhiner takes that Gemara in Avodah Zarah. So Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that there were 2,000 years of tohu vavohu, and then the next 2,000 years is of Torah. The Rosh Kol and Grus Kol, Rav Miller, pointed out that Gemara is really hard to understand, because the Torah was only given 2,500 years into, at least 2,500 years into the world's existence. And so what does the Gemara mean when the Gemara says that Torah is the first, the second 2,000 years? Second 2,000 years actually begins exactly with Avram Avinu. But what does that have to do particularly with Torah? And Rav Miller did not think that the pshat is that Avraham Avinu kept the Torah and therefore Torah began. Because even if Avraham Avinu kept the Torah, it wasn't as a bar chiyuv. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah is just off. The Gemara is hard to understand. So three questions. What's the emphasis of Lech? Why the order Me'artzcho Me'latcho Be'savicha? And what's the meaning of that Torah begins with Avraham Avinu? Torah really begins with Moshe Rabbeinu by Sinai. So to answer this, to really understand what the depth of what the Nesiva Shalom says, one has to go to, I believe, an even deeper sefer. You know, sometimes one Rav helps out another one. They say that there was once a barber who was giving haircuts, and he asked the fellow who was giving a haircut to, and he said, "What do you do?" He said, "Well, I'm a volunteer fireman." After the haircut, the barber says, "I can't charge you." So the fireman comes back the next day as appreciation, brings him a fire cap. A few days later, barber's giving a haircut to another fellow. He asks him, "What do you do?" He says, "I'm a volunteer policeman." He says, "I can't charge you afterwards." Next day, the volunteer policeman brings him a fire cap. He's got the fire cap, two caps, the fire cap, policeman cap, hanging in the store. Next, a few days later, he's giving a haircut. He asks the guy, "What do you do?" He says, "I'm a rabbi." He says, "You're a rabbi? I can't charge you." Next day, the rabbi comes back, and he brings another rabbi. So to understand this halacha, this yisod, what the Nesiv Shalom is going to drive at, I want to bring in another Rav that precedes the Nesiv Shalom in Chassidus and really begin to understand the yisod of what it means, Lech Lecha, and how that pertains directly to our Avodah. Sfas Emes points out, the first Sfas Emes in Parshas Lech Lecha, Sfas Emes points out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu to go, but he doesn't tell him where to go. He doesn't tell him how to go. He just tells him, go. And the Medrash says, "Latet lo schar l'chol psio psia," to give him reward on every step, on every step. Says the Sfas Emes, what reward are we talking about? The pasuk says, "Lech lecha." Rashi says, "Lahanascha u'letayvascha," for your benefit. What type of benefit does it mean? Riches? Avraham Avinu was already extremely spiritual people. Money doesn't talk to Avraham Avinu. What does it mean? "Lahanascha u'letayvascha." Says the Sfas Emes, "Lihivatel bikol hachushim varitzonos." When a person negates what he thinks and he simply follows HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then lahashlich hakol avor leros ritzona yisparach, and these are the critical four words, oz niskaloi ritzona l'adam. Rabbo said, this is such a deep line, these four words, that a person's true ritzon, their true desire, their true essence and their true wants and their true aspirations only become clear to them when they throw away their own das for a moment and are mevatel themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then they come in contact with what is truly their own ratzon. That sounds high, it sounds heavy, and it sounds controversial. But let me bring you a raya. When I was in eighth grade, the most important thing in my life at the time was Michael Jordan. I grew up in Michael Jordan's heydays. And there was nothing more in the world that I wanted than the Nike Air Jordans. And I think I naturally confused having those sneakers with happiness. The most popular course in Harvard University is a course given by a Jew, unfortunately still a secular Jew, an Israeli. His name is Tal Ben Shachar, who's written prolifically on happiness, and he's researched the topic of happiness. And what Ben Shachar has shown is that happiness is not dependent on the things that we have or the recognition that people give us, but rather is a sense of meaning inside of a person. This goes back to the studies of Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning. And what Ben Shachar shows is that people confuse happiness with having things or attaining things. He gives an example of his own personal life, that he was a relatively depressed kid And he thought that if he was going to excel in one thing, that would make him happy. He actually became a national champion. I think it was in fencing. He became a national champion here in Israel. And then a few months later, he realized that he was just as depressed as he was before. His mistake was that he had thought that achievement, that having that achievement, that was going to bring happiness. But that's not what brings happiness. I'm no longer in eighth grade. My son is now in first grade, growing up in Ramat Beit Shemesh. And he comes home and he says to me, in a little bit of a sprinkle of English and Hebrew, he says that he still can't read English at age 6, growing up in Israel. He says to me, "Abba, I want a new pair of sneakers. But I don't want the sneakers that go like this." What's that? N, New Balance. "I want the sneakers that go like this." My son couldn't read the word Nike. But somehow, the power of Phil Knight, the power of Nike, reaches all the way into a Talmud Torah in Ramat Beit Shemesh, and that somehow a child has a sense that this is cool and this is not. This is what I want and this is what I don't want. And the child begins to fool themselves and think that the source of happiness is having that thing. Comes along the Svas Emes, and the Svas Emes says, we think we know what we want. We think we know what our Ratzon is. Vayomer Hashem el Avram, lech lecha me'artzecha, lech. Lech means not to simply leave, go for yourself, go reveal inside of yourself what you really want. How will you know what you really want? If you stop thinking for a moment what you want, by simply following me. For sure, critical thinking is absolutely central. But critical thinking also means to ask ourselves, what are the assumptions that say that this is what I want? Where do those assumptions come from? And how powerful those images and those messages are, to the point that a kid has no idea what it is, but he knows that he wants it. Says the Nesiva Shalom, Me'artzcha Molatcha Me'beis Avicha, there are different messages that we get from the environment of things that we think that we want. And those messages come from the general culture, come from Americana, from Michael Jordan. And then there are things that we got from our neighborhoods, what we got in the five towns, that we got in Los Angeles, that we got in Florida, that we got in Mea Shearim, that we get in Ramat Beit Shemesh. Wherever it might be, there are neighborhoods that give off its culture where it tries to convince the people what they want. And then finally, says the Nesiva Shalom, the strongest things are the messages, the explicit and the implicit messages that we get from our home. And every single one of those places have good parts to it and bad parts to it. Lech lecha me'artzecha me'laditcha. Lech, go. It's not that you're leaving. Too many kids, could be it's not so relevant here, but it's rampant. That there are so many kids that leave home because they're trying to get away from the bad stuff. That's not why you came here. You didn't come here to get away from the bad stuff, to shake off the bad stuff. What you came here for is to try to figure out what is truly your Ratzon. And by following HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Svas Emes, that's Megala Ratzon HaShaladim. That reveals the true Ratzon of a person. Says Rav Miller, what is the definition of Torah? Is Torah simply learning Torah? Is Torah the words of Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu at Sinai? Is that Torah? Or Rav Miller is Mechadesh something quite profound. That is not the definition of Torah. Sefer Mesillas Yesharim begins discussing Torah may be the day Zahirus, Zahirus Lizrizus, up until the point where a person reaches Madregas of Ruach HaKodesh. Rav Miller points out, if you look at that Gemara, Torah may be. Torah is about a person not simply leaving, but having a desire to come to a particular place. And the Svas Emes tells us, what is that place? Being megala his true ratzon. What his nefesh truly wants, as opposed to what society has told him what he wants. And therefore, the definition of Torah is not the moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the moment, the segue of Parshas Noach to Parshas Lech Lecha. The Dor HaFlaga leaves, but they don't have a particular direction where they're going. They're leaving their place, but they don't have a sense of where they're going, that they're going for themselves. L'hanascha l'tovascha. L'hanascha l'tovascha means your true hana is to really reveal what is your deepest ratzon. And sometimes a person doesn't find that until they have a desire to not simply leave, but to go somewhere. To go to the place of Zahirus, then to Zrizus. Gosh Baruch Hu should give us a siyata deshmaya to be able to find that place inside of ourselves. It's a tremendously powerful avoda, painful avoda at times, but also the most glorious avoda. And don't allow ourselves to be trapped into those things of me'artzachom and me'ladzachom be'savicha. To ask ourselves, what is that true ratzon? But that requires, paradoxically, says the Sfas Emes Yispatlos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want to tell Avram Avinu exactly where he's going. Because then Avram Avinu would put into his own mind what he thinks is the right way to get there. Sometimes the answer is to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, show me the way, and then I'm going to be Megal. What is that Ratzon HaPnimi? When I was in university, I went to Columbia to do graduate work in psychology. I never finished. I was too happy teaching Torah in YU, and I said, I'll anyhow become a psychologist, I'll become a Rebbe anyhow, I don't need a piece of paper. So I stopped basically before my thesis. But ironically, I didn't even think that I was going to be in Columbia. I thought I was going to do YU, and then my wife was in Brooklyn College. I thought I was going to learn in a kollel in Brooklyn and do my graduate work in Brooklyn College. The strangest of strangest things happened when I applied for the graduate program. I applied both to Brooklyn College, and just in case, I applied in Columbia. I thought I would get rejected by Columbia and accepted by Brooklyn College. And the exact opposite happened. Brooklyn College had decided that they had already taken too many from people for their program, and I got rejected from Brooklyn and accepted in Columbia. At the time, I thought that the best thing for my Ruchnius was, we were living in Brooklyn at the time, I thought I would learn in a kollel that was quote-unquote starker in Brooklyn, and little did I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, no, wait a second, there's something else that I think is even better for you that you don't realize is better for you. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu pushes us and propels us to a certain direction, and ultimately that direction is one in which we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what you're doing, I'm going to follow. And what happened was that in yeshiva, I realized that learning with the boys in the yeshiva was what really I wanted to do. Neither to be a psychologist, nor to sit and learn in kollel all day and all night. And sometimes a person has to say, wait a second, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pushing me in a certain direction. Or HaKadosh Baruch Hu is demanding something of me that I'm not even sure that I really want to do. Says the Sfas Emes, the moment in which a person says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to show me the way, I'm not going to put my ratzon in, I'm going to pull back a little and say, well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is either demanding this from me, al pi halacha, which I don't necessarily want to do, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu is propelling me in a particular direction that I didn't think I wanted to go. Don't fight it. Because what you think is your ratzon isn't always your ratzon, and what you think is best for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always knows what is better for you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us siyata deshmaya to be able to have that emunah and bitachon and be able to be in the kaddish. Have a great Shabbos.